Father, I hope this morning that that'll sink in. That you are alive. Your Holy Spirit lives inside of us. You left that for us to be your vessels, to be your workmanship, your craftsmanship, to do your will, not ours. Father, we thank you. We love you. We praise your precious name. Everybody said, amen. 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 Well, good morning. Go ahead and grab a seat. I'm going to make a disclaimer this morning. I'm an absolute mess. When you see your daughter, I think I get this crying thing from Pastor Craig. He's been messing me up in a good way for a long time, that Pastor Craig. As Heather mentioned, he's traveling the world. God's called him to do some different things. And so we'll step in and hold down the fort while he's gone. God is good. Amen. We've been in a series called This Is New Life. We've talked about authenticity, we've talked about connection, we've talked about freedom, we've talked about hope. Today we're going to talk about growth. But I want to show a quick video of Pastor Craig just giving a recap of those core values, kind of giving a little bit of the vision. Don't worry, it's not the full long one, it's the shorter version. But I want to just hear the recap of what we're about and where we're headed and what we're doing here. So if you guys can run that. Go ahead and run that video.
I believe with all my heart that we're entering a new season here at New Life. God has measured our hearts and is leading us into new zones of unity, anointing, fruitfulness, and growth. A call has gone out for us to rise to higher levels of commitment, and we are going to answer that call with a resounding yes. We've worked to identify 5 core values that will act as our bedrock in this new season. These core values are unique identifiers that set us apart, values that will mark you and I as believers in Christ with a purpose here in the greater Pomona Valley. Our first core value is authenticity. We're real, open, and honest with each other, ourselves, and with Jesus. We're transparent about our shortcomings and aren't afraid to accept help and healing. We wholeheartedly pursue truth through God's word. Second is connection. We desire closeness with Jesus and each other. We don't do life alone, but in community with others and in step with the Holy Spirit. We connect with the heart of the Father through both corporate and personal prayer and worship. Next is growth. We know that a life with Jesus is one of growth. An encounter with Jesus should change us. We grow personally as disciples of Christ, becoming emotionally healthy, and we seek to contribute to the growth of His church. Freedom. We experience freedom in body, soul, and spirit by being open to the Holy Spirit, going where He leads and listening to Him as He speaks. Our final core value is hope. We have a future perspective, expected for God to do a new thing. We have hope in God for our current circumstances, but also in an eternal life promised through Christ. We live each day knowing that our actions have eternal legacy. The future of New Life is exciting. It's full of promise and hope. I ask you to prayerfully consider how you might contribute your gifts and talents and to pray for this church even more. I pray a blessing on each of us as we embark into this new season together.
There is That is also on the website if you want to. There's a longer version that's got even more detail to it. If you haven't seen it, I would suggest you watch it. It's pretty good. But we've been spending some time on these core values, and today we're going to talk about growth. If you want to turn to your Bibles and just leave it there, we're just going to be in Daniel 1 today. That's the only place we're going. You're going to talk for like 3 hours on Daniel? Yeah. Oh, no one got excited about 3 hours, maybe one or two people. I remember I went to a conference with Pastor Craig and one of my buddies at this church in Corona. This guy was out from, I think he was from Nigeria, but he spoke, I promise you, this is the truth. He spoke on one verse for 3.5 hours, and I'll never forget it. When a man is that anointed and is that dialed into the word, you just sit there and just soak it in. I don't know what your personal life is like with the Lord. I'll tell you, this is a true story. I asked the high school kids, we're telling them to read a proverb a day and a chapter of Matthew a day. And so I had them close their eyes, and they were super honest. I don't know if you guys would even be this honest. But I said, how many guys read every day? And like, I said, how many guys read 4 days a week? And a bunch of hands went up. And how many guys read 5 days a week? And fewer hands. 6 days a week, fewer hands. Seven, and there was like 3 people out of the 15 kids that were in there. And I said, how many guys didn't read at all? And like 5 hands went up. Everybody's like, that's me. Guess what? You can make that change. You want to grow? You want to have significance? You want to have importance? You want to have purpose? You want to have destiny in your life? You got to grow. It's not just going to magically happen. We've got to work at it. Growth will equal wisdom. See, I would argue today that the reason we're in the trouble that we're in with politics, with things around the world, with stuff that's going on in our country today and other places, I believe we're in trouble because we lack godly wisdom. Amen. You can put whatever wisdom you think is necessary, it doesn't work. The end of the day, it's God's wisdom that is going to make the difference, and we're going to see that today. You're going to see how Daniel relied on God. No matter what his training was, no matter what he got taught, at the end of the day, the king recognized him because of the wisdom that he had from God. He didn't even use his training. He simply relied on God to interpret a dream that the king had, and all his training wouldn't have prepared him for that. God spoke to him, and he was able to do this. Now, he did training, but at the end of the day, what God gave him was the ability to interpret that dream. What is it for you that's important? What are you after? What is it in your life that you say, this is what I'm striving for? I'm not saying there's things in this world that we don't want to accomplish, but if those things are more important than accomplishing what God has for us, then we've got the wrong perspective. I read something that says, what is it that you know that you wish you had learned when you were younger? It'd be a fun little survey to put together. But one guy wrote, I wish someone would have told me that when you get to the top, there's nothing there. When you get to the top, there's nothing there. In other words, when you chase after the things of this world and you reach that proverbial mountaintop in whatever it is you're doing, it still will not satisfy, it still will not fulfill you unless God is in it. A famous tennis player, Boris Becker, I don't know if you know that name or not, but after he won his second Wimbledon title, someone asked him, what is it like? What is it like to have won now your second Wimbledon? He says, honestly, my biggest struggle in life, I still worry about suicide. See, he reached his proverbial mountain, but he wasn't doing it with God, and he's still dealing with things that he hasn't dealt with yet. He reached the pinnacle of his career, and yet he still sat there and was concerned with suicide. A reporter had interviewed a Dallas Cowboy player back when in the 90s when they were good. They're not good anymore. Really wish Pastor Craig was here because he's a Cowboy fan. But the reporter looked at this guy and asked him, there something different about you? What is it? He said, well, I just committed my life to Christ. Well, when did it happen? It happened the night we won the Super Bowl. I laid in bed that night and said to myself, I have won every coveted award, and yet I am lonelier and emptier than I knew, and I need something more than a Super Bowl ring. I needed God. Sometimes the loneliest time in life could be when you've just experienced that which would be the ultimate pleasure, and it has let you down. I had a season of coaching where I had a lot of success. In the same year, I coached high school soccer and we'd won a CIF championship. And in that same year at the college, we won a national championship. There was nothing else that I could have done in terms of winning. I couldn't have won any more games. I couldn't have gotten to another height or another level. And I remember thinking when I was done, what am I after here? Look, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have goals. We want to go achieve things. It was great when that happened, but it didn't satisfy me. It didn't fulfill me. My life wasn't complete because I had won a championship. What is it that you're after? What is going to bring fulfillment to you? Growth. Growth. Because that's going to draw us closer to God. We should be pursuing growth. We need growth to stay strong. We need growth for wisdom. Our definition of growth on our website says we know that life with Jesus is one of growth. An encounter with Jesus should change us. We grow personally as disciples of Christ, become an emotional healthy, and we seek to contribute to the growth of his church. If we continue to grow, people will see something different in us that will impact the kingdom of God. Sometimes we don't have to say a word and people see a difference. Do you know somebody in your life that you just observe and you just watch? That guy's solid. How do they do it? You know what you should do? Ask him. Ask him. I can simplify it for you. What does your time look like with God? How much time and what does that look like? You want growth, you want purpose, you want meaning, spend time with him. If I had each of you write out the amount of time you're spending with God and what you're doing, I'd be very interested to see that. Not to bust you, not to be mad at you, but to encourage you to go, look, if you want more, you want more fulfillment, here, look, you're spending an hour a week with him. Man, if I only spent an hour a week with my wife, I'd get in trouble. You call that a marriage? You are his bride. So let's talk about Daniel for a minute. I'm telling you, I'm just a mess this morning. So if we know anything about Israel, this never-ending cycle, right, of favor with God, out of favor with God, in favor with God, out of, it's just this kind of revolving cycle for them. And in Daniel, they're back again they're going to be back in captivity again. Okay. And so in Daniel, the basic story is that King Nebuchadnezzar wants the best from Israel. Like he wants to train up these best young men so they can eventually serve in his kingdom. Now I'm going to read this to you. I'm going to preface it. I've read each of these names 20 times at least, and I've listened to them, but I'll still probably butcher them. And you can laugh at me, and I won't even care. So let's read together, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem to besiege it. So what does that mean? That means that he came to take it. Right? He came to take it away. It's now his. This is where Daniel is from. This is Israel. They are being besieged. They are being taken again because guess what? They're not following what God is telling them to do. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put the treasures of house, put in treasures of his God. Sheesh. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Okay, so Ashpenaz is asked by Nebuchadnezzar to go get me some of these guys. Go to the royal family, the nobility, take four guys from that town and bring them to me. Okay, that's what he's asking them to do. Nebuchadnezzar go, I control you guys now. Guess what? I want you four best to come work for me. I like to think when I read this that they would have come and gotten me. And then I read a little closer and I said, no, you wouldn't have come and gotten me. For those of you that don't know, here's what it says. It says, they wanted to come get young men without physical defect. I look pretty good. Not as good as Dan, but I look good. Handsome. Showing aptitude for every kind of learning. Nope, if you saw my grades, that would count me out right there. Well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. So he was to teach them language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained 3 years, and after they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Is that pretty good? Sounded like I knew what I was talking about, huh? So listen, look what they do here. The chief officer gave them new names. Before I go too much further, I want you to think about this for a minute. If you put yourself in Daniel's shoes and these other three dudes. The four dudes is what I call them because it's easier to say that than all their names, right? But the four dudes come, and they're gonna eat from the king's table and the king's wine, and then he's gonna teach them for 3 years, and he's gonna give them a new name. What is he trying to do? He's trying to change their minds. Do you and I face that today? Does our culture tell us something different? One of the kids that I'm mentoring from Encounter, pray for him because he's home with the chicken pox. But I'm mentoring Enosh. He's a great young man. We'll probably have more fun than we do mentoring, but I'm still working on him. But I'm joking, Chenna. We do mentoring. Sorry. She's like, you're not mentoring again next time. But we were talking about music. He's from Sri Lanka. I was playing, like, what is the stuff you listen to when you were a kid? So I, like, started playing them, like, AC/DC, Metallica. I started playing Red Hot Chili Peppers. I started listening to Nirvana. I started playing all these different things I used to do when I was a kid. You know what he says to me? Did you ever go through depression as a kid? And then the next thing he says to me, you've come a long way since listening to that stuff. I'm like, dude, you have no idea, but you're exactly right. See, the reason I got emotional today was because I was a kid that grew up in the culture, that allowed culture to affect what I did. The culture dictated to me who I was, who I was supposed to be. I wasn't like Daniel, which you'll see in a minute, who he stood firm on who he was. No matter what the king was trying to change his mind. The king was trying to impact who he was, to change him from where he came from what he was supposed to be about. The studies as a good Hebrew Jewish boy, that Jewish boy, he took him and he wanted to change his mind and make him more like the world that Nebuchadnezzar wanted the world to look like. That everyone would worship Nebuchadnezzar and the kings and his idols. He's trying to change these kids' minds to do that. He's not doing it in an evil way. He's not doing it in a way. He's doing it in a sneaky way. I'm going to give you food. Eat from my table. Drink my wine. Let me train you. Let me teach you. He's sneaky about it. See, for me, as a kid, I got caught up in it. I had idols. I wasn't worshiping God. The reason I got emotional today, because when you see your kid up there worshiping God and you know the struggles that she's been through, no matter what she's been through, she's still standing there worshiping God. That's my idol, my own kid, my own flesh and blood. See, Leah and I didn't raise her. We have allowed God to raise her. We've done our best to not use our wisdom, to use God's wisdom. We're not perfect at it at all. But when we talk about growth, man, it's amazing to watch and see. You probably know people in your life that are like that. You've seen them grow. No matter what it's throwing at them, they continue to fight. My wristband says up here, says never give up. Never give up. I'm never going to stop serving God. I'm never going to stop pursuing him. I'm just not. I'm going to have seasons where I do this, I'm sure. Right now I'm in a good season. It's a fun place to be. So they give Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael, Azariah, they give them new names, right? Now these names, their names, these Jewish kids, their names, all were, if I could break down each one for you, but basically they all had something to do with God. Each one of these kids' names had something to do with God. So again, Nebuchadnezzar, they're changing the names, they're getting rid of that. You notice Cassius Clay became Muhammad Ali. Lew Alcindor became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Chew on that one for a minute. So Daniel, his name, Belteshazzar. To the other, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. I think it was my wife that told me when they were little they would read stories and I don't know, it was her mom or her dad would say, Meshach, Shadrach, and to bed we go. Hang around my family, you'll laugh too. So all this is going on, this food, this kind of song and dance, let's woo them, let's bring them in, let's make all this seem amazing. But Daniel still was holding strong because his response, he said in verse 8, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief officials for permission not to defile himself this way. Now catch this. Now God has caused the official to show favor. Did you not hear the testimony this morning? You think that happened by circumstance, just by chance? No, God caused that to happen. It's not a mystery when we're lined up here, the things that God will do for us. Now, God caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told him, I am afraid of my lord the king who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would have my head because of you. So again, what he's saying here is Daniel's going, can I just not drink and eat from the king's table? And this guy that's assigned him, like, well, if I do that and you look like scrawny and unfit and this weak, feeble man, I'm going to get killed. I can't do that. This would have never worked in our own ways, in our own wisdom. God's hand was on it. Why? Because Daniel's been faithful. Daniel said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Let me guys sign up for that one. Then compare our appearances with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance to what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. First of all, there's no reason why this guy should have ever agreed to this, right? If you're scared of the king, right? If you're scared of Nebuchadnezzar, and you are asked to not feed these guys the way everybody else is feeding, because if these guys look feeble and weak, you're going to be the one that loses your life. But God was in this, right? God was in this. So at the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any young men who ate the royal food. Now look, I'm not saying you got to not eat meat. I'm not signing up for that. But guess what? If God gave me the wisdom to do that, I'd do it. I'd do it. Side note, all in conference, we're having the tri-tip. Shameless plug, but if you've not had our tri-tip, we haven't done it in a while. Come. See, every time I read this, I'm thinking about food and eating. Okay, sorry. ADD kicks in. So he compared them. At the end, they looked healthier. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding to all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. It doesn't say man's wisdom. It doesn't say man's stuff. It says God gave knowledge and understanding. The book of God is knowledge and understanding. The word of God is knowledge and understanding. You want wisdom. You want knowledge. You understand. Read the word of God. Stop trying to do it on your own. Stop trying to use your own mind, your own wisdom. Why do I say that? Because I did it for years. For years, I'll just do it. I've got a degree. I've got a master's degree. I grew up in a home that was extremely educated. My parents did really well financially. Many times we got in trouble, we used our own. We used our own minds. We didn't allow God's wisdom to come into situations. Okay, I'm the only one. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found no one equal to the four dudes. Not one. He found all the best from all the other towns that they've taken captive. They found everybody. Like, there's a bunch of guys that are being trained, that are being brought up, that he's training. Different guys that are overseeing. So I may have four, you may be in charge of four, you may be in charge of four, you're in charge of four. So there's a whole bunch of people that are in this pool of people that they're training up, and they want to see who's the best. Nebuchadnezzar goes, I'm getting the best from all these different towns, and I'm gonna find the best of the best. The best of the best. And the four dudes were the best of the best, not because of what they did, but because of the wisdom that God gave them. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first years of King Cyrus. Daniel had favor on him. Daniel had wisdom from God. Daniel grew. Look, he learned things. He studied. He worked. There was growth in Daniel. But when it came when he kind of met that point where now you've got to make this the right decision, he'd been trained up as a young man, probably 16, 17 years old when he got brought to King Nebuchadnezzar. He was probably there 3 years, so maybe he's 19, 20, 21, somewhere in that range. But when he was confronted with all of this, because he had been trained as a young boy, he was not willing to compromise who he was. He was not willing to compromise. Look, the reason you and I need to grow is so that when we're faced with adversity, that we won't compromise who we are. We won't rely on man's wisdom, rely on God's wisdom. Well, if we're not growing, how can we have God's wisdom? If you just stay still, you're not growing. I don't want to look like the rest of the world. I think the world's gone mad. Do you ever look at the news? Man. This is the least amount of time I've spent looking at the news in these last number of months. Because all it does is just, oh my gosh, this is brutal. I don't want to be ignorant, but man, I don't want to be focused on it either. But we get pressures all the time to compromise our faith. All the time, you and I. There's four ways that I think they try to pressure us from fit into a certain worldview. Isolation, indoctrination, compromise, and confusion. I don't have time to go into all those this morning. But four ways that the world will try to pressure us into its worldview: isolation, indoctrination, compromise, and confusion. You don't think that Daniel was going through all of those things? Right? He had to learn their language. Right? The Chaldean language that they were teaching them. Right? That was not his language. They were indoctrinating him with that. They changed his name. They're trying to twist and turn what he's known or what he's grown up thinking. You don't think they're trying to confuse him? Look, we think that because we're so much more educated nowadays that somehow things are all of a sudden going to get better. We have more people are getting educated today than ever before. Is our world a better place? Look, I'm not downplaying education. I'm a teacher, for crying out loud. But man, we took God out a long time ago from schools. It's up to you and I to get that back into the kids. You and I to get into ourselves so that we can train up a generation so that we have more Daniels that when they're faced with adversity, that they would stand firm in what they know and what they believe. We face pressures all the time to change. Daniel was determined not to defile himself. See, the food didn't meet the requirements of the Mosaic law. It was not prepared according to regulations. It may have included meat from forbidden animals. There was issues when it came to drinking the wine because they basically would take the meat and the food and they would sacrifice it to idols. So he felt that stuff was unclean for them to eat or to drink. He wasn't willing. I don't know what it is for you that causes you to look like the world, but God wants to change that. See, Daniel had an influence on the other three guys. Daniel was the one that stood strong. He was the one that said, I'm not going to do this. And the other three guys, guess what? They saw someone standing strong, and they stood with him. If Daniel doesn't stand strong, I don't know what happens to the other three guys. Do they fall into what the king is asking him to do, or do they stand strong themselves? But we do know that because of Daniel, that the other three witnessed what he was doing, and guess what? They went along with him. See, a lot of times we go along with people, we go along with the wrong people. My personal choice to follow God can affect others. How I choose to live for God can affect myself also. God gave these four young men knowledge and understanding in every kind of literature and wisdom. Daniel also understood visions and dreams. If you know the rest of the story, right, the king asks, if you read the rest of Daniel, you can dive into that, but asked Daniel, someone to interpret his dream, and Daniel was the only one because God told him how to. Nobody else could. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I don't remember what chapter it's in, but they end up, the king ends up saying, hey, I heard you're not worshiping me and my idols. And they said, well, we're not going to. Well, then we're going to throw you into the what? The fire. God protected them. Look, we just had a pastor that get brought back from Turkey. 2 years he was there. Talk about being in the fire. Being in prison for your faith probably will test you. We are responsible for training our hungers and our passions. You and I, we're responsible for our spiritual growth, our physical, emotional, intellectual. Train what we know is good for us and shun what is bad for us. There was a, I don't know what year it said, I think I read something, it was 50, 60 years ago, but they were, it was this scenario they created where World War II was over and it's now they're at the UN and the world has just all gone mad. Someone said it was a TV show, but I'm not sure if that's true or not. It said it was like 60 years ago, so I wouldn't remember. And it was this show was talking about all these people came in the UN and they're trying to figure out how do we solve this world problem? How do we fix us from going to into World War III? And so they brought this big old computer in, and everybody around the world got to come put their input into this computer, what it might be. All of this stuff that they put in, this machine is going to spit out the solution to solving World War III. The machine actually found an answer. You know what it said? You shall have no other gods before me. You should not make idols. You should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You should not commit adultery. You should not steal. You should not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. The Ten Commandments were spit out of that machine. I think, man, how true is that today? See, Daniel drew lines. He resisted. He was dependent upon the Lord, and he was confident in the Lord. I want those three things for us. I want us to be resistant of the things of this world. I want us to be dependent upon him, and I want us to have confidence in that. That our God will be there for us no matter what happens. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's going on, he will be there for you and for me. It may not look like the way you and I want it to look. That's where the trust comes in. You ever look back on situations and go, that's not how I would have done it, but man, I am glad I got through that, went through that. I have learned a ton. Daniel was somebody that we can look at as someone who has gone through growth. And because of growth, he's been able to resist, he's been dependent, and he's confident due to that growth. Bill Clinton met Mother Teresa. He said, it is very difficult to argue against a life so beautifully lived. You and I can impact a culture. You and I can impact people, younger people, older people, everything in between. You and I. Not me, not Heather, not Pastor Craig. You and I. Us together. Always power in numbers. In today's world, the problem is not that people believe in nothing, but that people believe in anything. You think about the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, each decade kind of has its own thing. We're in this era where it's about me, it's all about me, and everybody just believe whatever you want. No, there's truths we need to stand on, but we need to do it in a loving way. So when I think about growth, I think about Daniel. What a good example Daniel was. I wish I would have grown up the ways that Daniel did so that when I was faced with those things in my life, that I wouldn't have chose to go out and to party with friends. I wouldn't have chose to drink, to smoke. I wouldn't have chose to do those things. It's part of my life. But I don't want that for my kid. It happens. Pray for them. Love on them. Care for them. Resistance, dependence, confidence. That all comes from growth. I don't know if you feel like this is a place for you, this is for home. But we want you to partner with us. We want you to be a part of our team. We want you to serve with us. You're not serving us. We're serving him together. If you haven't made that commitment, you're like, hey, I want to make this place my home. Fill this out for us. Fill this out for us. And I think maybe at the end, maybe just there'll be some baskets in the back. We'll have you guys drop them on your way out. When people see you, what do they see? Do they see you like Daniel? And people will follow. I followed some lousy people in my day. Man, I wish I wouldn't have made those mistakes. So this morning when I'm watching Taylor up there worship, I'm reminded of our conversations her and I have had about kids at school. And she's like, Dad, I'm not going to compromise my faith. One of the greatest things she's ever said to me. I'm not going to compromise my faith. What did I do to deserve a kid who makes that decision? But maybe this morning you're saying, man, I need to make some changes. You just bow your heads with me. Maybe you're saying, I need to learn resistance, dependence, and confidence. I want to commit myself to spending more time with God. If you feel this morning that you need to make that commitment, I just want you to raise your hand. Like, I want to spend more time with God. I want to grow. Would you raise your hand? Thank you, Jesus. You can put your hands down. A lot of you guys, find somebody that you can tell that to. Maybe this morning you're saying, this God you're talking about, this Daniel, this kid that follows the Lord, that has stood so strong, like how does he do this? How does he stand against a culture and a society that tells us something else than what the Bible tells us to do? A culture and a society that tells us how to live different than that to what the Word says. You say, I want this, Jesus. I want a purpose. I want meaning in my life. I don't want to get to the top of the mountain and realize there's nothing there. I want to get to the top of the mountain with Jesus. Maybe that's you this morning. For the first time, you're saying, I want to accept him as my Lord and Savior. Would you raise your hand if that's you this morning? Where the prayer teams come up. If you raise your hand this morning, would you come and join the prayer team? But let me pray before we go. God, I thank you for people like Daniel that we can look to as an example of someone who has grown up in the Lord and that was faced with a difficult challenge, was not willing to compromise, somebody that was resilient that they resisted temptation, they became dependent upon you and had confidence that you would come through. God, would you help us to understand the level that Daniel did? Would you help us to understand that you are with us, that we can trust you, we can rely on you, God? So God, I thank you for what you're going to do through this church, through this group of people. Every individual here has strengths and talents and purpose. Would you help us, God, to activate those? So Father, I ask you, bless people as they go. For all the hands that went up this morning, that you would give them strength to spend time in your word, strength to turn on worship music, strength to stand firm in who they are, strength to continue on through difficult circumstances, no matter how far down they are, they continue to walk and to not stand still, that they will never give up. Father, I ask you, bless people this morning. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, have a great afternoon. Love you guys. We'll see you next week. Maybe come Thursday and hang out.